hello. Hello, good morning. So today for the call to worship, I will read a part and then I'll invite you to join in with the all part, but I'll let you know when. I want to tell you about God's kindnesses, all the things he has done for us that we can praise him for, the things that reflect his compassion and kindness. God said, "You are my people, children who will be true to me." And so he became our Savior. In his love and mercy, he saved us. He lifted us up and carried us in his arms throughout our lives. And please join me in the all part. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let the praise the name of the Lord, for all this is your created. And he established them forever and ever. He has issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel. The people close to his heart, praise the Lord.
Good morning. Let's join in a hymn of praise. Let all together praise our God. This is actually a Christmas song, praising God for him coming to earth for us at Christmas because he loved us so much. Please stand and we will sing verse 1, 2, and 4. You may know it better in German, but this doesn't have the German words.
Morning again on this lovely first day of 2017. I know that this year there's been a lot of sadness, but there's also been a lot of joy. And today, the sermon and the service, we're going to talk about keeping that joyful attitude as we go into the new year. So first, I'd like to encourage you, if you'd like to come and move forward. I know Aaron's lonely, Pastor Gary's lonely. You can come move forward if you want. I'll just wait a second. And while you're moving to the front, I encourage you to welcome someone or shake hands or say Happy New Year to someone nearby. It sounds so nice to hear you all laughing and worshiping together. Thank you. Is there anyone here who has a guest they'd like to introduce today? That is okay. For the announcements and sharing time, I'm just going to highlight a few. One of them that didn't make it into the bulletin is that we are in need of a men's size small pair of ski pants for Nestory. So if anyone has an extra pair, please call Betty Lowen. And in the bulletin here, I'm going to highlight a few of these, but the rest you can read. Number one, Anna and Jacob Clausen and their family are requesting your prayers. Anna has been diagnosed with breast cancer and will be undergoing a lumpectomy at the Grace Hospital on January 27th. The treatment plan to follow has yet to be determined. And if we can look at number two and three, Annie and Lainey send their greetings. And other than that, does anyone else have any announcements or sharing items they'd like to share? I know there's a mic. All right, then I'm going to invite Pastor Franz to come up and say our prayer today.
New Year's Day is special in two ways. For one thing, it's like starting a new thing, starting afresh. And the other thing is you always expect a lot less people in the service. They are still sleeping off last night's waking hours. I reflected briefly the last few days what it means to me going into the New Year's. And there was a verse in Psalm 31 that spoke to me, and it says, "There, my times are in your hands." And I want to draw that in as we pray. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we have come to worship you. And as we reflect on the past year, we give you thanks for the good things that have come our way, for the love that we experienced, the sympathies people directed our way, for the empathy, the understanding that we experienced and which lifted us up. And as we reflect on the days past, we profess, O Lord, our time are in your hands. We pray for those who are ill and in care homes. Martin Bergen, Susanna Bueller, Agnes Dirksen, John Goosen, Susanna Harda, Anna Hildebrandt, Elizabeth Klassen, Hildegard Knopf, Louise Lowen, Heidi Schroeder, Kathy Wagner, Jake Dick, Mary Ginter, Annie Stein, Bob Bell. And we ask for your presence and comfort to those who struggle with health issues, like Darlene Bergen, Heinrich Fust, Kim Hoban, Kim Lind, Gary Martins, Tree Harris, Ed Redekop, Hilde Wiens, Anna Klassen, Jordan Lozier. Lord, in the face of all this, we confess our times are in your hands. Lord, we give you thanks for the Christmas past, for the days of family gathering, for the love exchanged and received, for the birth of new babies, and even for the sadness of those people who have gone from us in this past year. And in the face of that, we proclaim, our times, Lord, are in your hands. Amen.
Let's join in singing another song of God's love, number 208, Love Came Down at Christmas. We're going to take it a little faster than we usually do, So please hold your book up and get ready to sing. Thank you.
So, should we do the children's story? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then let's do.
Okay. Can you? Yeah. It's good. All right. So, what is special about today?
My birthday.
No, happy birthday. I knew Sean was going to say that.
We'll expect some cake later.
Yeah. It's New Year's.
Yes,
New Year's
it is.
Day, 2017.
We should actually ask how many people actually stayed up until midnight last night.
Oh.
Look at that. Wow.
Nice.
We won't ask how many of us went to bed at 10 o'clock.
So, on New Year's, a lot of people make resolutions. And so I was going to ask if anyone made any resolutions this year that they want to share with us.
There's probably a wisdom that comes with years, and you broke it enough, and you don't need one more thing to make you feel guilty, so. All right. I was going to tell a children's story, and so I will tell it to you. And it comes from when I was, about kindergarten, grade 1, 2. My parents had a record player that looked like a suitcase. Do you remember those? And we had some children's records, and one of them was a Miss Helen, and she told stories. And we still love to put that on, and you know how you stack about 7 records on there, and they drop down and skid and wreck them. But anyhow, we did that. So the one story that really stuck in my mind, and I'll tell it as best as I can remember it. Some of you may still have that record, and you can come and correct me later. So the story goes, this young child, we'll call it a boy, it's usually boys that are in trouble. This young boy was acting up and his mother talked to him and said, you know, you really need to behave because God is watching. The angels are watching what you do. And this is being tracked. And the kid goes, whatever. He could get away with it and he was fine. So he went to sleep on New Year's Eve and he had a dream. And in the dream, an angel came to him and it was a very positive experience. And the angel had this beautiful book. And so he said to the angel, can I take a look at this book? And the angel said, of course. And opened it up he started looking at these beautiful pages, you know, butterflies and rainbows and all sorts of beautiful scrolling and everything. And as he was going through, all of a sudden he ran into some pages with some ugly marks on them, scribbles and black marks and things crossed out. And so he said to the angel, what does this mean? What are these beautiful pages? And the angel said, well, that's your life. This day, she opened the book to one place. On this day, she said, you were behaving in school. You were nice to your classmates and your teacher. And turned the page, and on this day, you made your bed like you were asked to, and cleaned up the dishes, and didn't fight with your siblings, and turned another page and said, you know, this is when, scribbling on that page, this is when you told a fib. You said something and you got your brother in trouble and you got away with it. And you didn't. Here's the scribbling. And turned another page and this is where you were angry with your brother and sister and you were mean to them and you didn't listen to your mom. And went through the book and all these negative and positive pages had pictures, stories behind them. And then they got to a point and all of a sudden the pages were blank. Flipped through the rest of the book, they're all empty. And the child said, well, what do these empty pages mean? Where's the beautiful pictures in the scribbling? And the angel said, ah, that's the new year. And those pages are blank, are your life. And you get to decide what's on them. You get to decide whether there's beautiful pictures or the ugly scribbling. It's up to you. You get to choose. And the story stuck with me, since I was this big, because it resonated with my life. That I can choose the things that I do and the legacy I leave behind day by day.
And so we have a few blank pages for the new year, little notebooks. So we'll just put them at the back. And if you would like one to start the new year off, draw some beautiful pictures, whatever you'd like to do, we'll have them at the back at the end of the service.
Okay, we'll usually have a prayer at the end of the children's story, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you trust us with this blank slate in front of us. Thank you that we can approach 2017 with a sense of expectation and joy, knowing that as we follow you, we leave behind a trail of beautiful pictures, touching people with joy and happiness as we go through life.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. For by the life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. Then let us with the Spirit's daring step on the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Christ is alive and grows before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.
Thank you, Leanna and Trudy. That was beautiful. I'll be reading from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievances against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Beloved, God's chosen, put on as a garment compassion, forgiveness, and goodness of
Therefore, as God's chosen people...
Just a minute. Can you read that once more?
Therefore, as God's chosen people...
You know, it seems to me something is missing here. We have just spent about a month talking about God's amazing love. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grew up, taught us how to love, showed us love. And then it goes on, and we sang this in many of the Christmas songs, as you remember, that he died for us on the cross, rose again, and in the process, freed us from our addiction to sin, you know, thinking the world is all about us, and also opened the way for us to connect with God. So, when we talk about God's loving us over here and becoming God's chosen people, there's something missing in between. How did we get from God loving us to being God's chosen people?
I guess we all just know how to become Christians.
Well, probably we do, but we mention everything else over and over and over again. So is it okay if we take a minute to do this one?
Sure. I guess it won't hurt to hear it again.
All right. All it's lost is a little bit of burnt lunch, I guess. Well, so how do we move from God loving us to being God's chosen people? Now, it's all about grace. We know that. It's not works. This is all God at work. But there's a decision involved somewhere. I like to go back, as you know, to the story of the prodigal son. So, when the son left, he probably left the farm in financial disaster. He probably said a few things that were not very nice. And he walked out the door. And what is the father doing? The father takes a look at this and he said, what's important? Farm or the relationship. And the relationship wins. And so he stands there. He's already forgiven his son. And he's waiting. But the son has to decide to come home. He's down the road eating in the pig pen. And he has to decide he wants to come back. He doesn't have to make the father forgive him or anything else. But he still has to come home. He has to decide. So the Bible has lots of word pictures about what it means to make that decision. John chapter 3, you know that story, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He says, you need to be born from above. Some translations say born again. Choice. Revelation chapter 3, there's a picture, and we had this one when I was a kid. It was, you know, they cut a piece of a tree off and have a picture, Jesus knocking on the door. Jesus is knocking, waiting for us to open the door. There are other pictures. The picture of turning around. It's like God's going this way and we're going that way. And we have to decide that we're going to stop, turn around. Or being adopted. Or missing the mark and recalibrating. So there's lots of pictures about what that looks like. Being adopted. Mostly people who are adopted don't have a choice, but we'll throw that one in anyhow. And then there are lots of stories. Stories of people who make the leap from God's love to being a child of God. Zacchaeus, for instance. Here's this miserable little guy up a tree. Everybody hates him. He's not happy. Jesus comes by and says, come on down. We're going to do FASBA. And somewhere in there, something happens. He says, I've ripped a lot of people off in my life. I'm going to settle the score. Apparently he kept books. Even crooked people do that sometimes. And what does it say in the story? Today, salvation has come to this house. He made a choice. Something happened. Or the woman at the well in John 4, or the man born blind in John 9. Story after story of people who encountered the love of God in Jesus and chose to change. The point of the Christmas story is that God has put everything in place for us. He says, he's like the prodigal son's father, standing at the end of the driveway saying, I can hardly wait till you come home. And he leaves it for us to say, or come now. That's our choice. That's becoming a Christian. Now, I want to be really clear about this. This doesn't mean that we've got everything sorted out. If you say, yes, I want to follow the way of Jesus, that doesn't mean we understand the whole Bible. If we did understand the whole Bible, well, we know all the Baptists would be Mennonites, right? Maybe the Mennonites would be Baptists, I don't know. We have different ways of seeing things, and we still all hold hands as children of God. It doesn't mean that we've figured out all of science and all of philosophy, and we've integrated that with the Bible, and we've got it all put together. We understand it all. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we are righter than everyone else. That's not the point. It's a response to an invitation to a relationship. There it is. God says, come. Like he did to Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, and all these other people. And we say, yes, thank you. And like the prodigal son's father, we are forgiven and we are welcomed into the family. But it's choice. Our choice. Okay, things change after that. The Bible tells us that one of the things that changes is that when we become Christians, we have something inside. The Holy Spirit gives us this sense that we belong. You know how it is walking home and your kids come into the house and it's just like you smile and they smile and you all know you belong. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. We belong. We're part of God's family. And it also changes how we see the world. We say, oh man, God has treated me like this. I want to be different than I was to reflect the amazing character of Christ. And so that happens as well. So anyhow, thank you for giving me some time, Carrie. And that's the bridge from God's love to the first few words about being God's chosen people.
Okay, I'm going to try this again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
You see how it starts? It tells us who we are. We are God's chosen people. It's not like God says to us, yeah, all right, already, quit bugging me, you can come in, miserable thing that you are. We're chosen. God chose us before we even knew. We are holy or set apart or special, and we are dearly loved. I love that term. We tend to, some of us, wax theological. And this one is just plain relational. We are dearly loved. You know what that means. When somebody truly loves you, when you walk in and they see you, their face lights up. That's what it's talking about. We are chosen, special, and dearly loved. That's where he begins. Therefore, it comes before that, but it reflects what comes after, therefore. So what do you want to do about that? What do you do about it when somebody loves you like crazy, without explanation, just loves you? We respond. We want to love them back. And so Paul says, you know what? God has given us such a wonderful place as his children. Why don't we put on the characteristics that were important in Jesus' life? These are some of the fruits of the Spirit. And he lists five of them. Compassion. Compassion is reflecting the mercy and generosity of God. The sympathy of God. It's just caring deeply about us. Second one is kindness. It's respect, generosity, graciousness, empathy. You know when you meet people and people do things for you whether they need to or not? And sometimes it's done in a very cold way. And sometimes people do things and it just feels so warm and caring. There's a sense of kindness there and you feel respected. You may have walked in feeling a little silly and they treat you like you're important and like you're valuable and like you're respected, which is what God did to us. He says, tell you what, why don't we treat people, other people like that? It's a quality which is unfortunately sadly missing in our world. Humility, best definition I know, comes from Philippians 2, the first 11 verses, where it talks about who Jesus is. Humility isn't weakness. Humility doesn't run us down at all. It just says, I decide to put you ahead of me. That's humility. I'm going to consider your concerns and your needs before my own. Doesn't mean mine aren't important. Doesn't mean I'm nothing. It just means I choose to set you ahead of me. Meekness. Meekness comes from submitting to the way of God, which gives harmony. It doesn't speak of weakness. It's choosing to submit. There's a wonderful passage which people often misread in Ephesians. It's the part where it says, women, submit to your husbands, husbands, love your wife. You all heard this one, right? Well, first of all, love and submission mean the same thing. So you could turn that around and say, husbands, submit to your wives. But the verse before that says, out of reverence for Christ, submit to one another. It's a choice. So when you come into marriage, you decide, we are going to submit to each other. And what happens to that marriage? Good things. Good things. When people say, I'm the boss here, it usually doesn't turn out well. I don't know what your experience is, but I won't share any of mine. The next one is patience. Patience is tolerance, endurance. I have to admit to you, I came from the factory with this one missing. Patience has been a struggle for me to sit down and just listen and tolerate and endure, because that's what it feels like, tolerating and enduring. Some of you are so patient. I just admire that so much. I'm still working on that, and the good Lord's given me a little time to do that. So the point of all of this is that we are God's chosen, holy, loved people. And the writer says, tell you what, let's tackle our world like that. Let's tackle our world with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And you know what? 2017 will be a wonderful year.
Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unit.
Okay, so we have three verbs here. Bear, forgive, and love. Bear doesn't mean be a bear to each other. We can do that one easy enough. It's bear with each other. Put up with things. Decide that things aren't important, that people are more important than the little irritations that get in there. Some people are like a rock in your shoe. You know what I mean? You can put up with it for a little while, but after a while, it just really grinds. And Paul says, you know what? Let's decide that some things aren't important. And we're just going to say, I love you, and some of the things I swallow a bit, but I love you. And so I'm just going to focus on that. Forgive. Forgive doesn't mean that we just say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. When we have been hurt, it needs to be worked through and processed. But forgiving means pardoning each other. It's not holding grudges, and it's no condescension. Some of us are really, really good at forgiving people. And then we're good at telling other people what a rotten person they were and how wonderful we were at forgiving them. Not really forgiving, right? We just carry the story with us, but it always ends with, but I forgave them. No, you didn't. What is the function of forgiveness? The function of forgiveness is to bring back together. And so if I forgive you, the function of that is to say, something came in between us. That's not good. We're going to push it aside, we're deal with it, and then we're going to set it aside. And now we're going to focus on us. That's what God did for us, right? Put on love. Again, it doesn't say, and love will flood out of heaven and everything will be fine. We have a decision here. Put on love. It's a choice. So you want to do that? It's what God did in Jesus, came down and put on love. And love is the thing that holds us together. Whether it's us as a family, as a couple, as a church, whatever. It's not sameness that holds us together. Because if we sit down and discuss, oh, I don't know, we should go through politics and a few points of science and a couple of theological issues, I'm sure we're going to find some reason to fight. We won't even have to work too hard at it. But we can decide that our focus is we're going to love each other, which means we belong together. You folks are amazing at that. I've experienced that over the last few years that I've been here, that we come together. Are there differences between us? Just look a little bit to the side. Yes, there are. You don't even have to look too far. But you love each other. It's a decision that you've made along the way somewhere. And you know what? That's what makes us a church. Not that we are identical in theology, or we have no problems, but we've decided to love each other, like God decided to love us. That makes it work. And once again, when we carry this into our world, and we say, we're going to bear with some of the little grindy things, and we're going to forgive people. We're going to call them accountable, but we're going to forgive. And we're going to love them. It makes it exciting to think about the year ahead of us because of all the growth that's going to happen in our life and in our world.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful.
Okay, two things here. Peace and thankfulness. We often think of peace as nothing. We're at peace when nobody's fighting and nobody's acting up and nothing's going wrong. So just leave it alone and don't say anything. That's not peace. Peace is something very active. Peace is something that affects every area of our life. If we look at the Old Testament understanding, peace has to do with our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our health, our finances. Everything is wrapped up in the concept of peace. Shalom. And so what we are called to is to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. So that means it covers every aspect of our lives. The way that we treat each other, the way that we look forward to the future, and be thankful. I was listening to a number of people on TV yesterday before I went to sleep at 10, and they were talking about 2016, and I couldn't believe how many people said 2016 was the worst year ever. They talked about some of the environmental effects, about the people who have died, about some of the political things that have gone on, and they list a bunch of things and said, horrible, horrible year. I thought, what? It was a great year. All of us have experienced some negative in this past year, as Carrie mentioned earlier. People you love have passed away. You may have got some health diagnosis. You may have had some struggles with your family or with your finances or whatever. We all have something going on. Nothing good. Nothing to be thankful for. About a year ago, I don't know if you remember, I challenged you to, at the end of the day, take a piece of paper and write down 10 things to be thankful for that day. And you know what that does? It just trains us to see different things. Instead of looking for the negative, yeah, there it is again, we look for the positive. Ah, I said, I might have some health issues, but look at the support and care I have with people around me. Amazing. People who I've loved have passed away. And they were important to me. But the wonderful experience we had in our life together and the promise of eternity and all of these things, we begin to see God at work in the midst of everything that goes on. And it lets us be thankful. It's training ourselves to see the positive, not the negative.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Once again, the word of Christ isn't knowing all our theology. What do we believe about the church and about missions and about salvation? That's not what it's talking about. Word in both the Greek, logos, and in Hebrew, dabar, is very rich. It talks about our whole being. And so what Paul is saying is, basically, let the attitude of Christ tumble out of your life in all you do. Let it be there to affect the way that you interact with others, the way you see the world, the way you approach problems, the way you respond to negative and positive. Let the character of Christ be seen in you. Paul talks about that in another place and says, be your ambassadors of Christ. You are the fragrance. You smell like Jesus. When you come along, people say, is Jesus here? Because they see that oozing out of us. And so he's saying, when you take on these characteristics we talked about before, the fruit of the Spirit, when we decide to bear and forgive and love and all these things, people look at us and say, what's going on with you? Something's different. And we smile, reflecting again the character of Christ. And it ends here also with gratitude in your hearts. Like we just talked about Thanksgiving, being grateful for all the little things in life. Are the hard things there? Yes. Are there times when we weep? Absolutely. Are there times of sadness? There are. But then we are grateful for people who wrap their arms around us and say, it's hard, but you're not alone. We care about you and the little things, like grandchildren. They're wonderful. We have 1.5, and we are so excited for that. It's a good year coming. Once again, when we allow the character of Christ to tumble out of us, we see the world, and it's a wonderful year ahead of us, not only for us, but for the other people who are standing beside us and around us.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and Father through him.
Paul's saying the same thing again. Whatever you do, getting up tomorrow, going to work, visiting your family, running out of gas, getting stuck in the ditch, whatever it is you do, remember, Christ is with you. This whole passage, Paul begins with this wonderful picture. You are chosen, you are special, you are loved. And then he says, wouldn't you like to carry that into your life? Let's do that for 2017. He doesn't write the 2017, I put that in. Let's do that in 2017 and allow ourselves to love and enjoy the life that God has set before us. We'll go through the hard times together, but God is there, and the year ahead of us will be wonderful.
So, Dad, here's what I hear as the takeaway. God loves us and we are special. We have hope, and we approach the new year with a sense of excitement.
Exactly. Happy New Year.
In your insert, in your bulletin, you'll find an insert with "If You Believe and I Believe." This is a song from Zimbabwe that affirms our commitment to our joint faith together as we begin the new year. Please stand. We will sing it 2 times, so the second time, by that time, you should know it well. Please stand.
If you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. And set God's people free. And set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. If you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. And set God's people free. And set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free.
God says, "Behold, I am making everything new. In this new year, let us move forward with the confidence our new name gives, with a new song in our hearts and on our lips, with the new way before us, and with our eyes fixed on the horizon when Christ will return and make a new heaven and a new earth. May this be the year. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus."
Turn to number 420 in your blue hymnal for our sending song, "Heart with Loving Heart United." Happy New Year.